This is the Talon Marks Campus News Hour on WPMD On The Net, bringing you what's happening and who's happening on the campus of Cerritos College. Here are your hosts, Tito Benavides and Enrique Rivera.
Today is September 14th, 2011. Welcome to Talon Marks Campus News Hour, bringing you news and information campus-wide. Workshops for learning how to study more effectively are being provided here at Cerritos College. The workshop is presented by the Student Support Center staff. Campus News Hour speaks to Shannon Estrada about what is offered to students at these workshops. Staff writer Lucia Sarabia reporting.
Shannon Estrada and Reentry Resource Specialist.
Okay, and can you tell me a little about the workshop?
The workshop is how to study more effectively. I put out a flyer here. But basically, they're just going to go over, tips that students can use when they're trying to read textbooks, and a lot of times you read the same paragraph over and over and over. They're going to give tips on how to get past that, on how to pretty much how to study more effectively, I guess.
Okay.
I know one of the tips is to take some breaks, in between. So, but there's a new presenter, so we'll see how it goes.
Is it only a reading workshop? Like, do you have different subjects?
Just this particular workshop. This one is reading and studying,
okay.
How to study your textbooks more effectively. I think also studying in general.
Okay.
But we do other workshops as well, but this one is based only on that.
Okay. Can you tell me a little about the other workshops?
The other workshops, we have scholarship workshops, note-taking. There's a new one called, Tips for Student Success.
Okay.
That's coming up. So we have a bunch coming up.
Okay. Have you ever presented the workshop?
No, I don't usually present. I'm there just because the reentry program sponsors the workshops, but we usually have presenters who are, specialize in those areas. So,
oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. How often do you guys have the workshops?
I do it all semester, so both spring and fall we do workshops, and I usually have at least one a week, usually.
Right.
This month in September, there's two a week. I mean, varying workshops, it's not the same workshop.
Right.
But throughout September, there's two a week.
Different workshops?
Workshops.
Reading?
Mm-hmm. The following week is the Student Success Workshop, Tips for Student Success. And then the week after that, we have a Discovering Your True Colors workshop, and that's kind of like a career-based workshop.
Are the workshops open for any student here on campus?
Yes. We gear them towards reentry students, so it's a lot of, that's why you'll see, a lot of brush-up skills types of workshops for people who are coming back to school, but we also open them campus-wide for everybody to benefit.
Even students off campus?
Yes. Graduates are, we encourage students to bring friends. We've had staff members, send their high school kids here, to go to the different workshops. So,
Yeah,
it's open for everybody.
Okay, that's cool. How effective do you think the workshop is?
I think they're pretty effective. I mean, we've gotten some good feedback, from students who've just talked to, after the workshops, or I've had a few email me or come back and just say that, they were really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the instructors like them, so they offer usually extra credit for students to go because, then they do better in class. So,
yeah
they're pretty good.
Do you ever have students come back and tell you how much it helped them?
Yes. I do get that sometimes by email, or sometimes they'll just tell me after the workshop. I have some students who are regulars, so they'll just come every semester, even if they've been before, just to kind of brush up or get more tips on scholarships and things like that, because I really try to push the scholarship thing.
Oh, okay. Anything else you want to add?
We hope to see a lot of students come out. The workshops are beneficial, so I hope to get the word out there.
The Fine Arts Department here at Cerritos College offers a piano verification or completion certificates to qualified students to teach beginning piano and other professional areas for music majors. Multimedia and Managing Editor Stephanie Kobian reporting.
Okay, my name is Ruth Huang. My major is music and piano. Piano pedagogy.
How long have you been in the program?
2.5 years, 5 semesters. Yeah.
What do you plan to do with your certificate?
I'd like to maybe teach private lessons, teach piano. Yeah, maybe children or adults too.
Why did you choose to study the piano?
Oh, well, this is something that I learned before, and then I like to develop that skill.
How old were you when you learned how to play the piano?
When I first learned, I was like 5. Yeah.
So piano was a big thing in your family?
Yes, and then I helped play in church too.
How does playing the piano make you feel?
Actually, it makes me feel like calm, and then also music makes you kind of happy.
What have you learned the most in this program?
I study theory also, and then we kind of have to be disciplined in like practicing and everything. Yeah, so that's what I kind of learned most.
What do you feel you have gained from being here at Cerritos College?
Well, I kind of learned from the teachers, and then they're pretty professional, and then kind of learn like to work with other students, classmates.
When you learned how to play the piano, who taught you?
It was my aunt, like when I was small.
Why did you decide to start playing the piano?
My mom.
Oh, your mom.
My mom.
First, did you like it, or you didn't want to do it?
Actually, I don't really remember. No. but I guess so, I guess. Yeah, but when I was young, I don't really remember whether I liked it or not. But yeah.
Do you have kids?
No.
Well, if you had kids, would you want them to learn the piano?
Yes.
Would you have them as a requirement, or only if they wanted to?
Kind of requirement.
What if they wanted to play another instrument, the clarinet?
Then they could go for that too.
Is there anything you want to say about your experience playing the piano? How it makes you feel?
Oh, it kind of gives me joy, and then helps me to be able to serve in church and that kind of thing. Yeah, so I guess that's one of the one of the things that I like too about playing the piano.
And what is here at Cerritos, this program, what is your favorite part about it?
I think the classes, and then we're kind of we work together kind of that, and we're kind of a small group, so we're kind of close. Yeah.
Do you guys have competitions, who can play the better piano?
There's a competition where you can play at the Scott Henderson concert. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's mostly the competition. But then you just try out, audition.
Oh, yeah. Is there a performance that you guys put out? Or?
Yes, yeah. We have the recitals that we have to play in, and then we have the ensemble concert also, recital. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your favorite piece to play on the piano?
I like Chopin's Nocturne that I did before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just like Chopin's music. It's kind of dramatic. Mm-hmm.
Phyllis Reimer, music.
How long have you been in this program?
In this program, I took 4 semesters of the theory classes while I was working fewer hours at work. Mm-hmm. And then once I retired, that's been about 2 years. This will be my 5th semester.
What do you plan to do with your certificate once you get it?
I want to teach. So teach private lessons, and also I'd like to hopefully be worthy of playing in church one of these days. Mm-hmm. So,
if you would teach, what would be your favorite type of music to teach students?
Oh gosh. What I grew up with was classical music. Mm-hmm. I love jazz, but that would be a long time before I was able to work with kids on jazz, so I think I'd probably want to keep them on the things that I already know. Mm-hmm. And the classics, of course, make a background that kids need to mm-hmm. to get into the other types of music that are there.
How did you get into playing the piano?
My parents put me in lessons when I was 4 years old.
Do you remember?
I learned to read music before I learned to read books.
Did you enjoy it, or was it
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I grew up in Independence, Missouri, and my teacher played the organ at Harry Truman's wedding, so that's a long, long time ago. And so there was always that sense of a tie with things that were way back, even then, and I've always enjoyed that sense of history that you get when you're around older people. Mm-hmm. So she was in her 80s, at least, when she was teaching me.
Would you say she was a really good teacher, and how can you explain your teacher?
She was good. She used a method book that relied on the teachers to teach theory. They didn't really cover theory so much in the book, and that was one of the things that I really enjoyed getting here, because I felt that I could have had more. But in terms of just being able to read the music, to play the notes, to get the feeling that's behind the music, she was very good at that.
When you play the piano, how does it like make you feel?
I get into, well, there was a psychological theory called the zone, if you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Csikszentmihalyi or whatever his name is. Anyway, that's where you get into what you're doing and everything just kind of goes away. And you can, all of a sudden, 2 hours have gone by. So.
And what makes you love playing the piano so much?
I think a lot of it is just that I can get into something and I can concentrate on it. And I can look at it, at what I was doing before and what I'm doing now, and I can see where I've grown or where I've advanced.
What do you think? What is your favorite part from this program at Cerritos?
This program, oh, the teachers. The teachers here are marvelous. Most of the teachers are professional musicians. If not all of them, I think all of them actually are professional musicians. So they're out there, and there's so much that they know just from having that experience in the musical world.
Would you ever want to go like be a professional artist with your piano?
I'd like. I kind of look at Dr. Lopez, you know, and see what she's doing, where she's accompanying and she's playing in chamber groups, and that's the kind of thing I'd really like to do. I'm not so much a soloist as someone who would like to be part of a group. I grew up playing in band and orchestra, and so that group centeredness is kind of nice to have. That's something I'd like to have even as a pianist.
Did you play the piano consistently since you were 4 years old?
No. No, my parents stopped the lessons while I was in high school, and so I had a few decades there that went by, and so I'm just getting back into it, really, after a long time off.
And what made you get back into it after such a long time off?
It was something I'd just been wanting to do for a long time, and I finally bought a little digital piano so I'd have something to work on, and then I decided, well, let's not stop there. Let's take the lessons, take the classes, and see how far we can take it.
At home, do you have a big piano?
It's not a big piano. It's like these. It's a digital. So, and it's 88 keys and weighted keys. That's really the only criteria I had for it.
So. And do you believe it's hard to learn how to play the piano?
No. I mean, you've got 10 fingers and 88 keys, and you make a match.
What is the hardest song you've ever tried playing?
It's one I'm working on now, and I'm not working on it for here. I'm doing it's. I'm hoping that I'm going to get good enough that I can bring it to my teacher and then develop it. But it's the Fauré Ballade, Opus 19, and it's a really tough piece. I mean, it takes those 10 fingers and kind of spreads them out over the keyboard and interwraps them.
Would you ever write your own music to play?
In the theory classes we had to write music, and I enjoyed it, but I don't consider myself a composer. So I see organists who can do improv, and jazz musicians who do improv, and I would love to be able to do that, but I don't know if I'll ever reach that point.
And what is your favorite song playing? What was the first song you learned how to play when you were small?
C, D, E, E, D, C, C, E, D.
Did you learn how to do the chopsticks one? Ding, 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 ding.
Neighbor taught me that.
The Free Speech Zone asked students what the extent of their knowledge is of the Mexican Revolution. Staff writer Patrick Dolly reporting.
And your name, please?
Jennifer Gonzalez.
And what is your major, please?
Art.
Okay, and Jennifer, the question that we're asking is we're trying to see if students are aware of what happened during the Mexican independence.
I don't really know what happened.
Do you have any opinion at all?
Nope.
When you think about Mexican independence, what comes to mind?
People fighting for freedom.
Okay, and do you have any knowledge of any, have you learned anything previously in school or anything like that?
I have, but I most likely don't remember.
And your first and last name, please?
My first name is Jovita. Last name is Tanu Wijaya.
And your major, please.
My major is in art.
And we're trying to find out if students are aware of what happened during the Mexican independence.
They're fighting for their freedom and independence.
Okay, and why were they fighting for their freedom and independence?
No clue.
Okay, do you have any opinion about this at all?
I think it's great.
Ronnie Seth.
Thank you, Ronnie. And your major, please.
Art.
Okay, and the question we're asking is we want to see if students are aware of what happened during the Mexican independence.
I'm not aware whatsoever about that, but now I do, since you're asking me that question. So I guess now I am.
Okay, and did you learn anything about this in school at all?
Not at all. Not at all.
Crystal Guillen.
And your major, please?
Liberal Arts and Sciences.
The question we're asking is we want to see if students know what happened during the Mexican independence.
I just know that they were fighting for independence, and that's about it.
Okay. Are you aware why they were fighting for independence?
To get their freedom.
And why was it important to get their freedom?
So they can be free.
And do you have any information? Did you learn anything about this in school at all?
I did actually take a Mexican history class, but I do not remember. The only thing I remember is that the bicentennial is this month, September. That's about it.
Okay, thank you very much.
My name is Nicholas Hernandez. I'm on the side.
Okay, and the question that we're trying to find out is we want to know what happened during the Mexican independence.
And I'm not really sure what happened, but I know that the American government had to deal with the capturing of the main cause of it, which is Pancho Villa. And honestly, that's all I know. I don't know for how long it lasted or who caused it or how it started. I don't know why it started, but I'm pretty sure it had to do with they wanted their own freedom. Probably from it. I'm guessing from it, like a puppet kind of government, right? I don't know, but that's all I know.
It's Ruben Orta.
What is your major, please?
Math major.
The question that we're asking, Ruben, is we want to see if students are aware of what happened during the Mexican independence.
Students, yeah, they were aware.
Are you aware of what happened during that time?
Yeah, I was aware.
And what was the Mexican independence?
It was, Mexican independence, it was Mexico against France, right? France against Mexican independence. Man, I was thinking about something else. Mexican independence. Yeah, I think it was from France or Spain.
What happened during this time?
We were liberated from, I believe it was France or Spain, where Mexico became independent.
You're saying that Mexico was liberated from France or Spain?
Yeah.
And why was it so important to be liberated?
Well, so they could, freedom, get freedom.
Do you have any other information about this topic?
No, not that I can remember.
Thank you for your time.
This week's letter from the editor focuses on 9/11 and how the various points of view should lead up to the same place. Respect for all those involved, young and old. Editor-in-Chief Pete Moyer reporting.
It is undisputed that the attacks on September 11, 2001 were one of the worst that the world has ever seen. The destruction of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, the Pentagon in Virginia, and the crash of United Airlines Flight 93 in Pennsylvania is an image that sends a blistering shock of apprehension into the hearts of many who remember that day. But the fact of the matter is, when the events struck, many of our students were merely children and couldn't fathom to understand the magnitude of the crisis. 10 years later, we attempt to look back on that dreadful day, and rather than being able to see how much the world has changed, we only remember the events of that morning to now, because this is the only life that we've ever known. This is not to say that the events of 9/11 were insignificant by any means, but the fact of the matter is, if you didn't live near the area, had friends or family in the area, the tragedy may have not affected you as much as it would have if you did. One thing the attacks have done is build the importance of knowing American history. An event that is affecting our entire generation and the generation before us will be one read and recounted by the next generations, and it will be something that they are quizzed on in their American history classes. Rather than just remembering 9/11 as the day that impacted our country, consider how 9/11 affected your life. Many college students are struggling to get classes due to budget cuts, but the budget has been altered due to the country having to fund a war. Much like the Reggie Bush scandal at the University of Southern California, Students who were still in elementary school are being affected by a situation that they had no control in. It is quite possible that the attacks could have been part of a bigger impact than anyone in this country could realize. But it is up to us, the next generation of the country, to remember how it affects us. 9/11 is important for all of us to remember, but it needs to be remembered for the right reasons. And let's not just stop and remember the event. Let's continue to show gratitude to those in uniform by attending and passing the classes that they fought for us to be in. Rather than skipping your Math 60 class, think about the many soldiers who would have been taking that class, but they couldn't because they were killed overseas protecting our country.
The commemoration event honoring our fallen and living heroes brought out hardworking first responders to Cerritos College. Staff writer Enrique Rivera reporting.
It was Jeff Nagel. Lieutenant Colonel.
How do you feel about today's event?
I was really honored to be asked to be part of it. Means a lot to me what you guys are doing. Being a New Yorker, being someone who served my country, but more importantly, want to remember all those who gave their lives that day and subsequent to that. I think it's very important as a country that we don't forget the sacrifices, because what they've sacrificed and many people before them and after them, they've done it for our freedoms. They've done it for our way of lives. They've done it so we could do something like this.
You quoted Kennedy, and what's the most important thing about to know from that quote?
Well, I think it's important for you, your generation, to realize that our country is made up of many, many different people, different faiths, different religions, different ethnicity, different people of all different ilks. But we're the great society we are is because we've always come together, and not just to strive as a nation, but also to enhance the nation. And unfortunately, I've seen, as my life has gone by, more people forget the meaning of what Kennedy was saying.
You guys want sandwiches?
It's not
sandwiches?
Just about what we can
chips.
Gather ourselves,
no fish and chips.
Our wealth,
sandwiches.
Our riches, right. Our success, right. But it's what we can give to our society to make our society better. And it seems to me, unfortunately, the young is forgetting that there are things that we should do with our lives that are outside of just what we work. Giving back, as I said, you know, being teachers, being doctors, being in the military, police, firemen, but also, you know, being mentors, being guides, going to schools and doing stuff of that nature. I just say our country is built on the past. Our country is built on successes in the past. And we should not be stagnant. We should be trying to improve on everything. And when we get into a mind frame that it's me, 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 as I said, when there's too many takers and not enough givers, not only will we not be able to contribute our future success, but we will regress as a nation. And hopefully the sacrifice of people like Sergeant Major Curriton and Lieutenant Colonel Shea, and for those who've given their lives on September 11th and other times, won't be forgotten and won't be made meaningless because we've forgotten and haven't done anything.
All right, thank you.
Jasmine Ramirez.
What do you think of the turnout of this event?
I think it was a great turnout. I was very excited to see a lot of students on campus go ahead and sit down and join us for the event. And it was beautiful. I thought it was a really great event. It turned out really well.
What do you think about the guests today?
Oh, he was so awesome. I'm so grateful that Eric Dane was able to get him out here. And I mean, his speech was just so motivating. It was amazing to be or to do. I think, you know, I'm going to go ahead and frame it somewhere on my wall. I think it was honestly perfect and fitting for our campus. I think the most important message within our campus is definitely for us to become leaders and to be effective leaders on campus. We are a community, and we need to realize that we can help each other out in so many ways, and we can all be effective leaders on campus. So I think, you know, unity within our campus is important, and as well as great leadership. So,
Randy Luce with LA County Fire Department. I thought it was a good turnout. Just to never forget about my fellow brothers in New York and my other brothers that have fallen on our job. And that's it.
All right, thank you, sir.
Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College.
Talon Marks students, the question isn't, what are we going to do? The question is, what aren't we going to do? After besting Santa Ana 3 of 4 sets, the Cerritos College women's volleyball team prepares for future competition with this semester's lineup. Sports editor Brandon Rodriguez reporting.
Guadalupe Garcia.
Can you tell me how you guys came out, how you guys felt you needed to come out the first set?
We didn't know what to expect from Santa Ana College, so we had to come out strong.
What was the biggest difference between today's game and the scrimmage you guys had earlier?
During the scrimmage, we were kind of lost in rotations because it was our first time playing together actually in a real game. We went into practice knowing what we needed to work on. And then we came today and fixed what we needed to fix.
Did the first set show any indication of how, like, the game would end for you?
Not really. The first game is pretty much always a warm-up for both teams. So that team, we pretty much beat them by a lot the first game. So the second game, we knew they were going to come harder.
Do you feel that first game is usually, like, crucial to see who would win?
No, I actually don't think it has anything to do with it. Like I said, it's kind of a warm-up. They come back harder.
Well, what does starting the season off like this do for a young team like yours?
It encourages a lot. We know we're going to face, like, way difficult teams. So right now we just, you know, we didn't know what to expect, so we had to come out.
Katie Christensen, I'm a DS, and I'm a freshman.
Can you tell me a little bit how your team came out the first set?
The first set, I think we were pumped and we were ready to go. And I think we underestimated them a little bit because we didn't think they were going to be that good. So we had to adapt to what they were giving us, and I think that we did it well.
What kind of adaptations did you guys make?
Serve receive is a big thing for our team. Like, we're not as strong as other teams. So I think that we overcame that because a lot of the passers that you saw in the last set usually don't pass. And me and the libero were out because of a mistake, and I think that we adapted really well.
And do you think getting Amber Finley back will help for the rest of the season?
Of course. She's our main blocker and our main middle, so, and as well as our captain. So, of course, we need her back. So,
what players do you feel stepped up in her absence?
In her absence, definitely Jade. I think she's number 4. And Tia, she definitely stepped up too.
My name is Andrea Garrett, and I am a freshman. Oh, and I play middle blocker.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you guys came out the first set?
The first set, I thought that we were pretty strong. You know, we worked together. And the second set, ever since that little break we had, it kind of, you know, died down a little bit. And then in the third set, it was kind of shaky, but we brought it back. So overall, we did a good job.
Was this your first game with Cerritos?
Yes. I was very nervous.
With the scrimmage, how did things change since the scrimmage and till now?
With Cuesta? Yeah. We've started to work together more, and we're more unified as a team, and we support each other, and we work together.
Did you feel the atmosphere is going to be different from this game to the moving on forward in the season?
It'll be much better. We'll be more upbeat, and we'll be very, very, very talkative.
Do you think getting Amber back will help also, or how do you feel?
Yes, Amber, she's a great addition to our team, and we cannot wait to have her back.
My first name is Judith, and my last name is Arroyo.
And your position and your...
Position outside.
Can you tell me how you guys came out for your first game?
Well, Coach told us today to come out with our good passing and serving, because that's what gets us through the game. A good team, they have good serves and good passes. And we came out here, we weren't prepared the first game, but we brought it till the third game. We got our serves and passes in.
Was there any strategy you guys came up with during the week to prepare for this game?
What we mainly practiced is on our serving. We did a lot of jump floats, which you saw a lot of today. So that's what got us prepared, practicing our serves.
Do you think moving on, will this game will help you?
Yeah, we learned a lot from this game. We saw our mistakes, and now it's up to us to just to learn from those mistakes and go on to the next game.
My first name is Gate. My last name is Castaneda. I'm associate head coach.
Can you tell me a little bit how you felt the team came out the first set?
The first set, I thought they came out great. Came out strong, fired up, ready to play.
Do you think the first set was like any indication of how the game would end, or is that usually a blowout either way?
It was our first match of the season, so I didn't know what to expect, really. So I was very surprised.
How did you feel the scrimmage helped you guys prepare for this game or during practice?
It helped us figure out a lineup. We actually changed the lineup, so the scrimmage helped us to figure out where people would fit best.
What changes did you make?
We put Latia on the middle. She was originally on the outside, so we moved her into the middle, which she's more comfortable at and makes us stronger.
Did she play that position during high school? Or
I think she played out middle and right side. I'm not positive, but I think that's okay.
And moving on, how is this game going to help this season, like during the season? How is coming out with the victory?
It starts off to be really well in the sense of that. So going into the Fullerton match, I think they'll focus a little bit better. I think they kind of lost a little focus in between some of the sets, and then that long break didn't help. And then having the wrong lineup in that last game, I think teaches them a lot of adversity.
And can you tell me a little bit like the leadership on the team?
Our biggest leader is actually injured, and that's Amber. So when you get her back, it's going to be a huge difference. So our next leader will probably be Andrea. You know, she's our other vocal person. But yeah, Amber's our leader. And
how is she injured?
She got hurt actually at practice while we were scrimmaging, and she just fell wrong on her own foot. So she twisted her own ankle. She didn't fall on anybody. So we'll hope to have her back by next week. But I don't know if she'll be ready for the Fullerton game. But for when we go to Mesa, San Diego Mesa.
After trailing in the second half, the Cerritos College women's soccer team mustered up a comeback victory over Consumnes River College at the home opening game. Stat writer Philip Ocotti reporting.
Last Friday, Cerritos College women's soccer team defeated Consumnes River College in their first home game, 2-1. After the game, I had the chance to speak to both of the team's head coaches and a few players about what they thought about the game.
Ruben Gonzalez, Cerritos College women's soccer head coach. And, you know, we went down in the score 1-0, but I think it was good for us. It's early in the season, and, you know, there's things we need to correct. And I think in the second half we responded and came out and got the two goals to give us the lead and the win. I mean, at Cerritos College, we kind of expect to win every game. So, you know, we'll continue. We have a game tomorrow. We got to turn around and play within less than 24 hours. And it's a good challenge for us. And we'll see where we're at after Saturday. I told them that they needed to step it up, or else we were going to, you know, go home with the defeat here today. And they responded well. They responded with heart and they worked hard in the second half.
Cesar Plasencia, head coach. Difficult to swallow right now. I thought we did enough to at least tie the game, but you know, in the end, Cerritos made plays and we didn't make the chances we had, so they deserved the win. You know, we've been playing pretty well, so we were confident we could play well, and the game went according to what we thought it was. We just didn't finish the chances we created. Yeah, just you know, wish Cerritos a lot of luck. Hopefully, we might be able to see them in the Final Four.
Jordan Moore, I play attacking center mid. It felt really good. It was a great ball in by Katie. Dropped it over the top, and I was lucky enough to get there in time, chip it over the goalie. You know, at halftime we talked about, you know, how we were going to respond to being on top. We just lost our last game, and we reacted really good when they scored. And this game we thought we were going to come out and maintain, and they scored two quick goals. It's really tough. We tried to keep our heads up and play good, but they're a tough team. So at the end, it's 2-1, and it's a good game.
Cerritos' next game will be at Palomar, September 21st at 4. This is Philip Colby. Back to you.
Cerritos College is offering students interested in the prolific fields of composite manufacturing, engineering technology, and welding technology weekend workshops to strengthen their employment opportunities. Campus News Hour speaks with instructor of composites manufacturing, Terry Price, and welding instructor, Mike Medina, about what is offered at these workshops. Staff writer Andre Katami reporting.
Your title is instructor, basically?
Yeah, welding technologies instructor.
Can I just get your name one more time?
Mike Medina. Michael Medina.
Perfect.
Either or.
Like I said, I have information on the seminars that are coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could explain a little bit about, because it looks like there's multiple seminars, right?
Yeah.
4-week sessions? Or?
Yeah, I believe there's the plastics, machining, and the welding proportions, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there's more than that, but I'm pretty sure it's the welding portion, which we would be covering, and then the plastics, and then machining. I know that I think there's 3 different seminars going on all throughout the different times. Like, I know ours is in November and ending in December.
Okay, cool.
You say.
So you're doing welding specifically?
Yeah, I'll be doing the welding portion, yeah. Okay. Specifically just welding. The people that are coming into the seminar, they won't be doing any welding. I'll be doing all the welding. It'll be like, I'll be up in the front. I'll give a little background of what the program's all about and tell them what they're going to be seeing. Then we go out there, I'll be doing demonstrations and stuff like that for them.
Cool. I was wondering, because I noticed, was it, there's a fee, is like $80 per seminar?
Yeah, $80 per person, yeah. Yeah, it's $80 per person, and it covers 3 weekends, I believe, 3 or 4 weekends.
Okay.
So yeah, $80 per person.
Do you know, is that, it goes obviously to the school, right? Is it rent to school, or is it a separate?
From what I understand, it's completely separate from the college. It's due to CTE, Career Technical Education, which is the teacher track program, stuff like that. So I believe that's where they handle all the funds. From what I understand, the college is pretty separate from what they're doing. We're just, I guess, hosting it, opening our program for that.
Cool. Yeah. Could you maybe say a word about how you said about this being one of the bigger welding programs?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the welding programs here in California, but here at Cerritos College, this is the largest and number one welding program in California. We have all the facilities. We have 20, oh shoot, I can't even tell you how many stations. We have 16, 32, a number of different processes, welding processes, and we have oxyacetylene cutting, plasma cutting. We have all the different aspects within the trade, within the welding trade. And Cerritos College offers that to all the students, to where there's different classes. You could take various classes and different processes and whatnot, and they get a big encompassing, all-encompassing as far as the trade goes, to where they learn every little aspect there is within the trade, because there's blueprint reading. It's not just welding. There's blueprint reading, math. There's layout, fit-up, pipe. There's all different types of aspects. And here at the college, they offer all that, and they have we have all the state-of-the-art equipment, where the students will get to use only the state-of-the-art equipment, too. So it is the number one welding program in California. It's not only the largest, but it's the number one. We offer job placement. We offer word-of-mouth type things with the unions and stuff like that. And then we offer certifications, all different types of things that are out there for the students in the trade, I guess you could say.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Do you know about what I know I mentioned there are going to be some businesses or corporate parties that are going to be attending to or helping out. Do you know about who's going to come by or who's supporting this event, the seminar?
I know that CTE, Career Technical Education, and the teacher track, I think they might come and give a little demonstration of what their aspect is as far as within the program, because they'll be doing like a little demonstration on how the students going in this program could actually learn to teach and get into a program to where they can teach and stuff like that. Well, as far as this program goes, every semester these classes are jam-packed. And there's usually 10 to 15 people that can't even get in. And like for this instance, as far as the seminar goes, I'll tell the students that can't get in or can't get in any classes, I'll tell them maybe you should take a look to get into this seminar, because it's an open house. We're opening up the program and showing everybody what exactly our program entails, what you will be looking for, what is expected of you and stuff like that. So it's like an open house where you'll see everything that we have and we have to offer for the students. And I usually tell the students that if you've never taken a welding class or have no idea what welding is about, the seminar is probably the best thing for you, because you get to see actually what our program is about. And I know we'll go over what it takes to become a certified welder, the classes and foundation and how you have to build on that. And then we'll go over how you could go into different aspects of different welding processes, to where you could go and do all different types of welding processes and not just be stuck on one thing, not just be, I guess, stuck on just one goal. Because there's many goals here in the program, to where we'll be able to certify you in pipe, certify you in structural steel, aerospace, light gauge material. Those are all different kinds of certifications that they have here, to where the student, who, when they're just sitting there, they don't really think about it, but then they think, okay, that's kind of cool. And what that does is it opens up the door to the industry, because nowadays employers and industry, they want somebody that can do it all, everything, you know, from small to big, everything. They want somebody that can do it all, because they're more valuable to the employer, and the student will be more valuable as far as landing those really good jobs and stuff like that. So that's kind of the thing that I would like to tell the student, that if you're really interested in this program and in the field, you should come to the seminar, because it'll go over everything from little to big, I guess you could say.
Are you, from my understanding, doing the composites section?
Yes. There's three sections that are going on through the Department of Economic Development, and I'm doing the composites intro to technology portion of the training. I'm doing the four Saturdays, the Saturday of September 17th and ending on October 8th. They go 9 to noon, and for a minor fee of $80, the attendees are going to go ahead and get a lot of information so that they can go ahead and brush up on their job skills, or help them to understand the career paths and opportunities in the composites industry. What are composites? Composites are usually two or more different kinds of fibers and reinforcement, like resins, that are usually combined together in sheets or in fabric form. They could be either hand laminated, either with wet lamp, like making a surfboard, or a chopper gun, making camper shells at low end, or in the higher end is be more like aerospace, where they have a pre-impregnated material that's already coated on the fibers already, and they're stored in the freezer to prolong their shelf life, so they can go ahead and make really high-end products like F-18s, V-2 bombers, and those kinds of things. So we do everything here in plastics and composites in our department. We teach the full range of that. So in essence, we're going to go ahead and have the attendees will understand that through doing hands-on activity. They're going to go ahead and actually cut their own samples of all of these materials we talked about. They'll have those available in their folder to review whenever they need to. And we're also going to do some hands-on work in the class to go ahead and laminate through hand lamination and also vacuum bagging processes. So we have a lot of hands-on to do for these attendees that are coming out to the sessions.
In commemoration of 9/11, CNH takes a closer look into the long-lasting effects the national tragedy had on our country. Social media editor Yuri Gutierrez reporting.
Workman, fear.
How do you think security has changed from before September 11 till now?
A lot. It's a lot more paranoid.
What is the disaster preparedness from then till now?
Structured. Organized.
How has it changed America? Well, the event.
How did the event, September 11th,
yeah,
change the America?
Mm-hmm.
Kept us, put us back on our toes.
Joshua Vialta, majoring in administrative justice.
How has security changed before September 11th till now?
Before, everything was laid back. As far as like buying plane tickets, stuff like that, you could, pay cash or whatnot, and they wouldn't trace it back or anything like that. And the events after September 11th, we started to take things more seriously, make sure everything had a way to be traced back to the original source. So in that sense, it's intensified.
How has disaster preparedness changed from then till now?
Well, I think it would be the same. Like I said before, just that everything, everyone's so paranoid about any little thing. It's like we overemphasize some of the securities that normally should, we would overlook.
How much did it change America, September 11?
A lot. Well, every day we go outside and it's like, what's the worst that can happen today? When's the next attack going to come or whatnot, So I feel like a lot of Americans start to think, safety awareness or anything like that. They got to view a lot of stuff.
First name's Avery Gonzalez. Well, last name's Avery Gonzalez. Major is business and econ.
And how has disaster preparedness changed from before September 11 till now?
You're talking about the disaster that happened. How did it prepare us? Well, two things. It brought to our attention that one, even though we feel like we're the safest state or the country or whatever, obviously you've seen that we can also get hit. So I think the security measures change within borders and airlines and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Procedures and different measures now taken to prevent certain things that happen now.
And how has security changed from before September 11 till now?
I think it's more lenient back then. Now it's actually like if you go to the airport, you gotta even take off your shoes, you know what I'm saying? So it's changed drastically to where you can't even take a lighter in or matches or not even a nail clipper on board unless you check it in or even any liquids over 3 ounces. So, I mean, it's changed. But is it a radical change? Yeah. Is it necessary? May not be, but you never know. You can't never be safe. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And how did September 11 change America?
Man, I would say it viewed the loss of many people. And not only that, people had nothing to do with any type of war, any type of terrorist system or whatever. Losing that many people, especially being televised at the same time, I think it impacted America because in the sense that it hit home at this time. You know, back then, World War II, Vietnam, Cold War, it didn't hit home because they didn't see it. Now it was brought into their attention where it's actually, hey, wait a minute. People can die at any moment. You know what I'm saying? And it's not earthquakes. It's not natural devastations. It's an actual man-caused effect. So I think it changed a lot because it changed the outcome and the views of a lot of people, especially young individuals that were growing up at the time. And, well, like me, I actually joined the military to fight a war because of this event. So I think, in a way, it did change it because it changed the views of a lot of people.
The Free Speech Zone asked the student body if it feels that it was prepared for college life from high school. Alan Sanchez, staff writer, reporting.
I'm here with
Ashley Mendoza.
And your major?
Fashion design.
So Ashley, can you tell me how prepared you were coming into college straight from high school?
Well, I wasn't prepared at all because at school I was slack off a lot. So coming here, I had to like get straightened up and start doing well.
Did your teachers warn you about the differences that there was going to be between college and high school?
Yes, they said that teachers were going to be, like, not more stricter, but they won't really care, so you're really on your own, sort of. So they said I had to, like, we're going to have more work and more than, it was going to be a lot different than high school.
And are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, I like it here a lot.
I'm here with
Nicholas Hernandez.
And your major?
On the side of.
So, Nick, how prepared were you coming to college straight from high school?
Not really prepared at all, really, because the teachers don't really, like, tell you what's going to happen, you know, like, what you got to do. They just, practically, in my senior year, I just focus on homework, and that's about it. Just homework, 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 and really, college is just like a big bang to me, only for the people that research on themselves. But honestly, not prepared at all.
I'm here with
Vineet Jain.
And your major?
Engineering.
So, Vineet, how prepared were you coming into college from high school?
I was actually not at all prepared in that sense. Like, I knew there was going to be hard work and I would be responsible for my own work. But, like, it took me a good, like, 2 semesters to actually settle down and get used to the college environment.
I'm here with
Ryan Sinas.
And your major?
I'm not sure. Okay.
So, Brian, can you tell me how prepared you were coming into college from high school?
I was kind of prepared for it. At first, I was excited and decided to come over here.
And did your teachers in high school give you any advice when you came to the campus, what to do or when you start college?
They gave me some advice on suggesting applying or something.
And did you talk to any counselors when you arrived to help you with your classes or anything like that?
No.
I'm here with
Robert Albanez.
And your major?
Dance.
So, Robert, can you tell me how prepared you were coming to college right after high school?
After high school, I have to say I wasn't prepared at all.
I didn't know what was coming to me, especially because I was still 17. At the age of 18, that's when I thought the real deal started. But, you know, coming out of high school, I was still 17, and everything was coming too fast, and a lot of things were happening that I didn't expect. I would say that, you know, coming to college, coming to it from high school, it was a big change in my life, because in high school, you know, it was something that I would do every day, every single day, and I would see the same people, you know, just live that normal schedule every single day. And then going to college, it was like, you know, the school's way bigger, there's different faces, different races, studies, different everything. And coming to it was just like, whoa, like, this is real life. This is real life.
I'm here with
Iris Mendoza.
And your major?
Undecided.
So, Iris, how prepared were you coming to college, like, straight from high school?
I don't think I was that prepared, I guess.
Did your teachers, like did they tell you about college, like, what you were going to be doing or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, that we were going to have more homework and, like, it was going to be a bit different because the professors are, like, sort of harder and stuff than high school.
Students can stay in shape here on campus with Zumba Fitness. Zumba combines Latin dance, martial arts, samba, and other styles and techniques to bring a full-bodied workout. Arts editor Michelle Moreno reporting.
My name is Judy Chan, and I am one of the instructors for the Zumba program here. It's part of the Pound by Pound program. And I teach in early morning classes Tuesday and Thursdays at 6:50 in the morning over in the community education building, room number 4. And she teaches here on Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursday evenings at 5 o'clock and at 6 o'clock.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit how the program got started and how you got involved into it?
I'm adjunct faculty here, and so I teach yoga and I teach Pilates as well as weight resistance training, group fitness. And so we've been sponsoring through the Student Health Center, we've been sponsoring the Pound by Pound program at least 2 or 3 semesters now. And in the past, we've had weight management programs, which included boot camp, cardiovascular work in the fitness lab. Sometimes we worked outdoors. I think sometimes they even took the students and the employees over to the pool. So it was a lot of cross training. So you incorporate weight resistance training as well as cardiovascular, you know, work. And then also stretching. Those three components are very important for fitness. And so we've had that for the last 3 semesters, and then we thought we'd try something different with the Zumba.
And have you always done Zumba?
I've danced for many years, and so this was just, I did Latin Impact over at LA Fitness years ago, and I've been here probably for at least 6-7 years.
At Cedars College?
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you incorporate all the moves, like, in today's class?
We have trainings that you can go to, and so we are actually certificated instructors through Zumba. Yeah, and so the music you're familiar with, Zumba provides the DVDs and the music, and then sometimes you can incorporate your own music as well. Normally when they teach Zumba, they don't use a microphone. Normally when you're teaching a Zumba class, you're only supposed to go with hand signals, no mic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard, I think, for students in the back when you have a big class for them to follow.
All right. Were you expecting, like, so many students to appear today?
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised.
Really?
Yeah. That was fun. The energy was good. And multi-level class. So as you can see, we taught it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. We kind of taught the verses beforehand.
I noticed you had specific dance moves that you were teaching the class. Is that going to prolong over the semester by teaching, like, different groups of students?
We're going to probably stick with these numbers or these songs for this week, and then we'll add on another song, and then add on another song, and then we'll build the repertoire, and then we'll just kind of, you know, keep it fresh.
And how do you think Zumba dance actually helps the body and health of a student, a college student, for that fact?
It's wonderful cardiovascular conditioning. You kind of forget that you're working out. You just have fun. And depending on how hard you work, you can burn anywhere from 500 to 1,200 calories per class session. But if you're just doing this, you won't be burning that many calories. So, yeah.
And you said the program's going to go on for
All semester.
Okay.
Yeah. It's held in the student center in the evenings and in CE4 on Tuesday and Thursdays. And we're looking at a possible noon class on Friday.
My name is Demisha Ingram, and I attend Cerritos College, and my major is art and design.
So how did you like the first class for Zumba?
I actually enjoy it. It's something that can show your expression, a way you can bring it out.
So is this the first time you've ever done Zumba?
Yes.
And how did it go for you?
Actually, I thought it was going to be challenging, but since she actually taught slower at the beginning, I kind of got used to it. So.
And do you think it's a good idea for this to be having on campus, like for students to come to?
Yes, I agree. It's a good idea.
Why do you think it's such a? Do you think it's helping? Would it help you like with stress reduction for classes like that?
Stress, and also the reason why I attend this because my health. I am a diabetic, so it will help me.
Oh, okay. And do you think you'll come back again for?
Oh, definitely. Class? I'm staying for the second section. So.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Students here at Cerritos College learned more about the importance and relevance of the Mexican Revolution on their everyday lives. Staff writer Enrique Rivera reporting.
Stephanie Gibson, political science.
Oh, what do you think about the presentation?
I thought it was highly informative and really fun, and I like his energy.
What did you learn mostly?
Mostly about how revolution started in Latin America.
My name is Professor Walter Fernandez. I'm a professor of history department, co-chair. I think the turnout was excellent. I think we had a lot of students, more than I really anticipated. I never know how many people are going to show up to something like this, but a lot of students did show up.
Just a quick question. You focus a lot on the economy of all this. Why is that?
Well, we do different themes, you know, every year. But for one thing, I think that some of these themes continue until today. For example, today we have, you know, still the results of the policies of the 1990s called neoliberalism. And we have a lot of the policies in which it includes, you know, a lot of free trade agreements and free trade blocks. And it the impact that free trade has in terms of, say, manufactured goods made in the United States, made in Canada, and the competition, also agriculture raised in the United States, and the impact it has in countries like Mexico and Central America are very deep impacts. It has an impact in affecting the food prices there. It has an impact in affecting the growers and on the agricultural sector, and also manufacturing as well. We see that in neoliberalism, there's also the interest in the capitalist countries setting up manufacturing assembly plants. And that's the phenomenon that we live with today in Latin America. And, of course, the border assembly plants were supposed to provide a lot of employment. And what we see then is a lot of people leaving the country, the countryside still, a lot of unemployment, and some people going to the assembly plants as a source of cheap labor, in many cases ununionized and very exploitable.
What is that? When are the next presentations?
Let's see. On September the 20th, the People's History Association, that's a student club, is having a presentation in SS 311, which is a follow-up to this one. They're going to be looking at specifically Mexico and the economy and its political system right after independence. So it's like the follow-up for this one. And the students wanted to do something maybe smaller and more private, but all students are invited to that. Also, on the 21st, the students are going to continue talking about Mexico and its system and corruption. Another presentation is coming on October the 12th. Actually, October the 12th, we have another presentation. That one is looking at the indigenous civilizations and cultures before contact with the Europeans, to see what kind of a world existed in 1491 before the 1492 Columbus voyage. So that's another important event that we're having. That's to take a look at, you know, a critical look at Columbus Day, right, which is October the 12th. Also, let's see, October the 19th, History Department and the Global Consortium are having another presentation, and this one is on the Mexican narco mafias. So that's on October the 19th in LC 155.
All right.
Feel the beat.
It's what's happening, who's happening at Cerritos College, and why.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're watching and listening to.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
It's your school, your town, your world, your life. Read about it in the Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
Feel the beat. The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com.
The Talon Marks and TalonMarks.com. The beat of Cerritos College. We want to thank you for joining us on Talon Marks Campus News Hour here on WPMD.org, Cerritos College Radio. We would like to invite you back next week at this very same time, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here at WPMD.org. And we also invite you to pick up a hot, fresh off the printed presses to this week's printed edition of Talon Marks News. On behalf of Enrique Rivera, my name is Tito Benavides, your host here on Campus News Hour. Thank you very much and have a great day, Falcons.